Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to a November 19, 2008 segment from the Kentucky Water Fuel Museum. With us today is the organizer of the now famous HHAO Games and Exposition that was held last week in Manatee County, Florida, Joe Shea. Joe, are you with us?
Yes, I am indeed.
Now, welcome to the program again.
Well, it's my pleasure to be back. I think your program did a lot, James, to help spread awareness of the games and to make it a success. So we're quite grateful to you.
Yeah, well,
and,
several hundred people listened to that interview. And so what we'd like to do today is to maybe do a little recapping of what took place for those who weren't able to make it, even for those who were, to sort of get an idea of what your take is on how things went.
Well, you know, without question, they went very, very well. I can't necessarily describe everything that happened because there were thousands of people there, and you know, there was an awful lot happening.
Yeah,
but,
well, that's a good problem to have, isn't it? To not be
it is, isn't it? But I can tell you some of the results that I was very happy about. An Olympic gold medalist in skiing from the French Winter Olympics in Albertville in 1992 today wrote to me and said he'd like to be an HHO installer and sell HHO kits, and he'd like to come here to Florida for training. And I thought that was a very exciting development. You know, we already had Jerry McCart, who is a professional car racer, and he owned that 308-mile-an-hour Glory Days jet dragster that was there at the show. And, you know, he wants to be an HHO installer, too. So I think this is a kind of a testament to the quality of the people who want to get involved in this industry. And that's enormously encouraging.
Well, and I think the beauty of becoming an installer is that many, many people, both men and women in the U.S., could install one of these units under their own hood and under the hood of their friends and relatives.
Right. And on another note, I got a call from Will Beaton of Green Hybrid Systems, and he told me about the number of kits and dealerships and distributorships they'd sold, and you know, they had just done very, very well. And I know that others like Jerry Watkins of Kentucky Technologies is very happy. He sold $20,000 worth of kits for trucks. And today I also got an invitation to make a 45-minute presentation to the Florida Association of Governmental Fleet Administrators, which is a group of people who run fleets for all the different counties in the state of Florida.
Wow.
And, you know, they have tens of thousands of vehicles as part of their responsibility, and they want to hear about HHO and what it can do for them. So
you know what's really
that's
great
another
about
big
this,
opportunity.
Yeah, and this translates to the government saving money on all those vehicles, the fuel bill, but it also does amazing things to the tailpipe emissions.
Right, and that's important to them as well.
And that's
you
one
know,
of the things that really bothers me about the media not helping, and the scientific community and the government and the automakers. There's no denying, and NASA has confirmed this from long ago, a study they did, that burning some hydrogen and oxygen along with fossil fuel cleans up the tailpipe emissions drastically and eliminates the greenhouse gas concern from these vehicles that are on the road without having to do major modifications to them. So
that's quite correct.
You know, the fact that your event is well, first of all, we're going to classify it as the world's largest gathering for this technology. In the history of mankind, there's never been such a large gathering because you had how many people come through the turnstiles there on Tuesday?
At least 2,300.
Okay, so there's never been an event.
Maybe as many as 2,800. No.
And here's something interesting. There's never been any event prior to 2008. From 2008, April, when Larry Jarboe sponsored a 1,000-mile drive from the D.C. area down to Key Largo, that was the first official gathering to document the benefit of using a hydrogen booster under the hood.
Mm-hmm.
And that was followed by his event in June, which had a pretty big attendance, but I don't think there were 2,300 people came.
Yeah, it's called Alternative Energy Show and Tell.
Yeah.
And I think the distinction is that they're dealing with everything from vitamins to solar panels and wind turbines and
yeah, there
and
were a number
HHO.
Of different things
We're focused on HHO.
Exactly. And then, of course, Spodi Odie's event
and
there
we were
in Florida.
The first to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Spodi had a great event, and that also was an alternative energy show and tell.
So, the distinction
being that we were focused on HHO.
Mm-hmm. So from April until November, there were four events that had HHO or hydrogen from oxygen from water as their central theme.
Well, and I think alternative energy was the central theme of the first three.
Well, actually, they were more water fuel specific. It's just that other things were involved or were invited to participate, including health. Okay, alternate health.
I mean, vitamins were involved. And that's a long way from hydrogen.
Yeah, right, but the principal focus was the idea of.
However,
water
you know,
fuel.
In each of those events, sure, they had lots of hydrogen cars.
Yeah,
I guess
your event,
Is your comment meant to indicate that we weren't first, or
no?
Or
you
what?
Weren't the first to emphasize water fuel. That Larry's event in April was actually it was a hydrogen booster
that was
rally.
An alternative energy.
No, that was billed as a hydrogen booster rally, a 1,000-mile
drive.
Oh, it
was okay.
Booster.
All right then.
So that was the first event.
So we weren't first.
No, you weren't first.
We were second.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you were the largest.
We were the largest in the world, and I think we were first. But
I'll
leave that up to you.
Well, you do have the distinction of being the largest, And even if you weren't first, you were only a few months behind the first.
Well,
so that was
I think we were the first because we really concentrated on HHO. We were the HHO Games and Exposition. And, I don't know when Larry's event was. When was that?
Well, he had two events. The drive, the 1,000-mile drive from Charlotte Hall, Maryland to Key Largo, Florida, was in April. And that was... not well supported. Hydrogen booster manufacturers and enthusiasts from around the country were invited to participate, and virtually no one did. It was basically just three vehicles that attended that rally. But it was a good representation of three different types of vehicles. There was a diesel, a Volkswagen diesel vehicle. There was a Toyota Prius hybrid. And there was a conventional American car, an Olds Cutlass. And
so there were three vehicles involved.
Yes. And the miles per gallon.
I mean, I don't think, even though he might have had the intention, that three vehicles really
equivalent.
Yeah, I guess you can't use it as a verb, can you? If you say equivocate, you that means lie.
Yeah, that's a little questionable. But
it's not really the equivalent or anything.
Yeah,
we're
but now, like I say, it
oranges.
Isn't because that the invitation was not extended to these people, but not many people were willing to drive from wherever they were in the U.S. to Charlotte Hall, Maryland, in order to join the rally, and then drive 1,000 miles with gasoline being at an all-time high at that time. If you were benefiting from increased miles per gallon with these devices, not many people. Another thing is that the people involved in making these boosters in April this year were so busy, because the demand had reached such a crescendo that they really weren't willing to or able to get away for this rally. That's what we found. Now, in the case of your event, a lot of these people were local Floridians, and it wasn't such a stretch for them to come on over to your to Manatee County.
Well, as you well know, though, people flew here from London and from Guatemala and from Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah. You had
Alberta, Canada, Vancouver, Canada.
Uh-huh.
So
exactly.
It's not as though they were all local Floridians by any means.
No, that's
a lot
true.
Of them
but many of those 2,300, though,
the
were
vendors
local
came.
People. Yeah.
Yeah, some, but vendors came from Ohio and California and New Jersey and New York and,
that's,
a lot of
that's
places.
That's a good thing, because that shows that the industry of making these devices and installing them on vehicles is snowballing.
Well, you always seem to have a divided agenda, James. You always seem to want to be praiseworthy. Find us praiseworthy, but you always seem to want to establish that somebody else was first or ahead of us. Or
well, that's because I entered this
field. That bugs me a bit.
I entered this field more as a historian, and so I'm interested in accuracy. And
okay.
If somebody says that they've been at this for 25 years and I find out they've only been at it for 2 years, I'm going to tell the public that that's how long they've been at it. And that actually happened in connection with this event. And that's
but
true.
But nobody
also
put on anything like what we put on Veterans Day. No one ever has. One event had three cars and another event had some, there must have been 20 cars with HHO installed at at Spodey's event in Ruskin on February, or in July, or whenever it was in August.
Oh, that was just October.
Was it September? October it was.
Yeah, it was just a few weeks before yours, really. Yeah,
yeah, but we announced ours well in advance of his, as you know.
Yeah, that's one thing you had the advantage of, is some good publicity.
Back in May.
And the other thing
not publicity. We just created the site and announced we were going to have the games and started organizing back in May.
Yeah, I think that you're latching onto the word HHO, which some people have been afraid to use because there was some copyright claims made associated with that expression.
Right.
And
yeah.
So, but you're going ahead freely using it caused I think some extra attention to your event because people would word search that. They'd seen the Denny Klein YouTube video and then they came to your site, whereas they might not have seen Spodey's or Larry's because they refrained from using that expression,
Yeah.
So that helped too, I think. And then, as you said earlier, Ozzy's mailing list, 35,000 people received notice of your event.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Yeah. Well, ours was the biggest and the best, and as far as I'm concerned, it was the first, dedicated solely to HHO. But be that as it may, it was a great success, and it looks like we're going to have a great success in February.
Okay,
in any
so you
case,
have already
you should always
a...
be very careful, James, that you don't pose me in opposition to Spodey or to Larry.
Oh no, by no means.
By making statements that sort of would tend to divide us, that would tend to make me argue, well, they did this or they did that, or them argue, he did this or he did that. That's not the way you should proceed.
Yeah.
You should
when I update my book...
With an even-handed kind of presentation, I think.
Yeah, it's true. It is true. And I think it's just important to say that in 2008, there were four events that were held, and it began in April, it continued into June, then October, and then November. And yours was the biggest. And I would agree it was the best because it was 4 days long. It had numerous seminars, and it resulted in widespread publicity for a long overdue technology.
And vendors made tens of thousands of dollars, and more than 3,000 people came.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah.
And even some good was done for a food bank and so on, isn't that right?
Right, we raised 2,000 pounds of food for Salvation Army. People brought the admission was $2 and a can of food, and people brought 2,000 cans of food, and they also spent $879 more than the Salvation Army's costs at their trailer.
Wow.
And their trailer was they had to put out about $500 for food. In fact, we actually underwrote that, but they got that back and $879. That's a pretty good day,
yeah,
for anyone.
I should say. And then, of course, local business benefited too from the influx of tourists.
Yeah, Comfort Inn, which was recommended only later in the day, a couple of weeks after we mentioned the Howard Johnson's Express Inn, and it took them that long to come down in their price. They had 44 room nights out of it, and they were very happy. And of course, the motel owner of the at the Howard Johnson's Express Inn, he was so happy that when we were forming our HHO foundation, he brought us all beer and potato chips.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. We so just, actually, by the way, a few minutes ago, I found in my spam mail the certified copy of the HHO Games. I'm sorry, the HHO Foundation Incorporation. So we're incorporated as a nonprofit corporation in Florida called the HHO Foundation.
Okay, maybe we can just touch on that as we conclude. What was the?
Okay.
How did the idea originate to form a foundation, and what's its purpose?
Regrettably, I wasn't there when it originated. Zero Fossil Fuels and some others, including Jerry Watkins and. Jerry Watkins, by the way, is a very, very capable developer. He's with Innovative Technology at Kentucky. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not.
You know, I wasn't familiar with him until I met him there at the Howard Johnson's, believe it or not.
Oh, okay. Did you ever
see
his kid?
Here we lived just about an hour apart, and we had to meet in Florida.
Yeah. Well, did you ever see his kit?
Yeah, in fact, that's how I met him. And we were having breakfast at the Howard Johnson's, and he invited me to look under the hood of his vehicle there.
Oh, I see. And he had it on that Lincoln Navigator.
Yes, a black
white Lincoln Navigator.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And, well, he and Tim Finfrock, who is with another HHO innovator, I can't quite remember it. He's a PhD that works with Jerry Watkins.
They traveled together to come to the event.
Yeah. Let me see. I have his card here. I've misspelled his name 10,000 times if I did it once. Poor guy.
I have his card here somewhere also.
But he and. One Mario, what was it? One Mario Somayo from Guatemala, and a
I don't
couple other.
I met him.
You mentioned him earlier, and a fellow from Canada, a fellow named Matt, and a. Actually, another fellow named Matt from Oregon, and Larry Bass from, who I think is from Tennessee, and of course Ralph Gugar, and George Papp of Mileage Seekers HHO of Dayton, Ohio. All of them, I think pretty much led by Zero Fossil Fuels. We're batting the idea around, I guess, almost since the time the games began, or maybe even the night before. I don't know, but they called me on Friday and invited me over to talk with them, and I went, and they told me they had decided to make me chairman, and I gratefully accepted. It was a real honor, and so I'm proceeding. I've set up the HHO Foundation already. And, we're off and running.
That's great. And so what is the stated purpose of the foundation?
Well, I don't have the written statement with me. We did develop one, and we developed, we had a regular meeting of the board of directors, and we did all the proceedings, et cetera. But basically, it's to create a set of standards and a certification process for HHO kits. We were basically inspired to do that by the results that we saw coming from the industrial quality Dwyer variable area flow meter that was presented by George Papp of Mileage Seekers HHO. And learning that some kits didn't produce anything and that others produced, ultimately, one produced 12 liters per minute. Another produced about 4.5 to varying between 4.5 and 5.8. and then the first of those being from Kansas, the second from Florida, and a third that we never got to identify adequately was produced 3.2, but five produced zero, and
when we say they produce zero,
three quarters of a liter.
This doesn't mean that there weren't visible bubbles coming up from the devices, but there was no measurable.
I can't tell because I didn't see them. What actually was occurring? If you say there were bubbles, perhaps you know there were bubbles. But you know, from a physics point of view, you have to have some hydrogen if electrolysis is occurring in water. It has to occur.
Yeah, but it wouldn't necessarily show up on one of those meters.
No, I gather not.
So doesn't mean that it wouldn't necessarily help the miles per gallon of a vehicle. That's the interesting thing.
Well,
even a device that produces very little hydrogen and oxygen can still affect the performance of a vehicle.
I think, you know, zero fossil fuels would argue with you. He said you need a liter per minute per capacity, per liter of capacity in your engine. Like I have a 1.9 liter engine and I'd need 1.9 liters per minute to really make a difference. Now, many people took umbrage at that and suggested otherwise, including yourself. However, I can't tell you with you know, scientific certainty exactly who was right. Tell me, however, you believe what quantity can result in adequate gas mileage improvement?
Well, I'm talking just from the standpoint of actual field results. Now, I'm not talking about some scientific formula. It could be that what Zero says about a liter per minute per liter of engine capacity is what would be ideal, perhaps, and that any more than that would be excessive. I mean, they have even said, several people have commented that you can have too much produced if you're just boosting a fuel, whereas you would need quite a bit more if you were running entirely on the gases coming from an electrolyzer. But from the standpoint of boosting fossil fuel, the consensus is that you can add too much. And that's why Bob Boyce, when he was at the SPODI event a few weeks before your event, he commented on a throttle position sensor being used to regulate how much is being produced so that you're not producing too much at idle, and that you increase production when you are stepping on the gas, accelerating, under going up a hill, things like that. Now, with regard to these devices such as Ozzy's, which is really Bill Lang's mason jar device, minimal output, the Hydronox 5000 device made in Colorado puts out a liter per hour, which means a 60th of a liter per minute. That would probably be hard to measure on one of those gauges. And yet they guarantee a 20% increase in miles per gallon. And that's not even introducing the oxygen. That's separating the two gases and only inducting the hydrogen.
Well, that may be the most effective way to do it.
It could be.
I mean, you know, somebody has tried to copyright HH2 as the description for that. That guy, Dmitry Demanchuk in Los Angeles. He his kit, which I think is known as a Zupa kit, is very similar to a kit developed a couple of years earlier by College of the Desert, and a link to that can be found on our website, hhogames.com. Again, that was hhogames.com. I don't know whether you can hear the incoming calls beeping.
It beeped. That's a good thing you repeated that. So
okay.
That's very interesting. Now, the original patent for a hydrogen booster by Charles Fraser of Columbus, Ohio in 1918, if you look at the patent drawing, you'll see that he has two electrodes at the bottom of his chamber. He has a divider wall above them, so the hydrogen and oxygen are rising up in separate parts, separate halves of the chamber. And then there are two tubes leading away from the chamber toward the intake manifold so that you could induct the hydrogen only, the oxygen only, or both.
Right. Well, you know, the kit pictured in the DOT, U.S. Department of Transportation has a sub-agency called the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, and they put out in November 2007 guidelines for the commercial use of hydrogen in commercial vehicles, for the use of hydrogen in commercial vehicles. And they have a picture of a hydrogen-on-demand kit, and it does include a separator. But their discussion is limited to discussion of only kits that would provide enough hydrogen to run a car on, or to run a vehicle on. Unfortunately.
Yeah. So my take on it is
they do discuss an injection process, though, that would that did improve diesel mileage and diesel emissions.
Mm-hmm.
On page 20 of that
report. I'd like
report.
To see that. That would be very interesting to see.
Well, it's right there on the website. If you scroll down,
It is on your HHO Games website.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. I'll have to go back and look for that.
If you scroll down below all the different bulletins in there, I guess there's about 100 of them now. You can see that. Where is that? You know, I don't see it now. Some stuff got edited during the course of this, and I didn't think.
Yeah, that really is a full page now, isn't it? A lot of information there.
Say. Yeah. And,
but anyway, we're looking forward to a follow-up event in February, and people can actually begin making reservations for that. Is that right?
Right. We already got a commitment from Green Hybrid Systems, which did very well there. They sold 5 kits, and you know, I think they were around $900 each or something. And they also sold some distributorships and dealerships.
And this is February 9 through 11th, this next
no,
event?
No, February 7 to 9. February 7
through 9. So that's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. So maybe a little easier for some people to come if it's on a weekend?
Yeah. You know where this is? It's in a note about Ozzy's trip across the country and his arrival in Clearwater, and I'm talking about Dr. Derek Zupancic. That's the Zupa kit. And then I have on just down below that on page 20 of the DOT Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration guidelines for hydrogen on commercial trucks, figure 12. They have a good drawing there. So anybody who wanted to find that would just do a search, meaning control F. Once they're on our page, and type in HH2, and it would be the second result.
Okay, very good.
You got that? Control F, and then type in HH2, and go to the second result, and it's in that paragraph in blue.
Okay, I look forward to checking that out. Well, perhaps we can do another interview sometime before the February event to get the latest on what's coming up, how it will be organized, where it will be, because you don't even have a location yet, right?
Yes, I do.
Oh, there is a location now.
Yes. It's the Manatee Technical Institute in Bradenton.
Great.
Where we had the fifth day. We have the Leatherman Auditorium, another 3,000-square-foot room, the parking lot, and you know, the school cafeteria, cafeteria.
Well, that's good to hear. So things are shaping up.
It is a lot of room. Yeah.
And we basically have, what, 2 months then to prepare for this next event?
Well, yeah, roughly almost 3.
Yeah.
The rest of November, December.
Mm-hmm, that's correct, yeah.
January and early February.
Oh, very good. Well, let's try to maybe get together sometime before that next event and let everyone know what's going to be happening. Well, thanks, Joe, for joining me, and appreciate the effort you've put forth.
Okay, I hope also that anyone, particularly in Florida, who would like to train the Olympic skiing gold medalist will let me know, and also who would like to participate in that 45-minute presentation to the Florida Association of Governmental Fleet Administrators.
Well, I'm sure you'll have some takers.
Yeah, it's joe@hhogames.com.
Very good. Well, thanks so much
thank
for your
you
hard
very
work,
much, James.
And I look forward to doing it again.
And thank you for yours.
All right, take care.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye.